I'm not advocating for a theocracy run by religious zealots. Hello there, and welcome to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm so glad you're here today. A lot of you are new listeners, and it really thrills my heart to have you aboard. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and I believe with every fiber of my being that the Bible has the answers that so many people are looking for today. Specifically, I know from my personal experience that a personal relationship with Jesus is the way to have peace in your heart in the midst of the chaos and turmoil that is currently happening around us. This is the Daily Podcast where we're going to read the entire Bible in a year. If you've never read the entire Bible, or if you've never read the Bible before, I hope that as we go through it, I can make this year informative and even entertaining as I talk about what we're reading each day. I'm always open to your comments, and I'll read some of them on the show. You can comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com. Today we're going to read from the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard, after which I'll share some comments, and after that we'll have the On This Day in Church History segment and then prayer requests. Before we begin reading, how about a short introduction to the book of Isaiah? This book is the first of what are considered the books of prophecy. Now, most people, when they hear that word, prophecy, they think of telling the future, and sometimes it does, but that's only a part of what prophecy is. A biblical prophet is a person who speaks for God. God has actually given them a specific message, and usually for a specific person or specific group of people, and God tasks the prophet to deliver that message. Now, by the way, the prophet Isaiah was a little bit like the Billy Graham of his time. Billy Graham counseled every president from Harry S. Truman to Barack Obama, 12 consecutive presidents. His active ministry years stretched from 1943 to 2013, 70 years. And as an aside, I had the privilege to interview Dr. Graham's longtime friend and musical director, George Beverly Shea, on the LifeSpring podcast in 2006. If you're interested, I'll have a link to that episode in the show notes. Now, Isaiah's ministry lasted from about 740 BC to around 680 BC, roughly 60 years. And unlike some of the other biblical prophets, Isaiah had personal access to the kings of his day. And like Billy Graham, Isaiah maintained an international perspective in his ministry and throughout the book of Isaiah. Now, of course, with a 60-year ministry, God gave Isaiah more than one message. Isaiah spoke to the people about caring for the poor and needy, following God's instructions on how to live, and pursuing social and economic justice. Yeah, sounds like it. Maybe he could have ministered today, right? And then, of course, he spoke of coming judgment because of Israel's failure. But, and this is important, he also spoke of God's promise to restore Israel if and when they would turn from their errant ways and return to him. So, let's get started. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How the faithful city has become a harlot, she who was full of justice. Righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Therefore the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, Ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. I will also turn my hand against you and will smelt away your dross as with lye and will remove all your alloy. Then I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. After that, you will be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Zion will be redeemed with justice and her repentant ones with righteousness. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord will come to an end. Surely you will be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you will be embarrassed at the gardens which you have chosen. For you will be like an oak whose leaf fades away, or as a garden that has no water. The strong man will become tinder, his work also a spark. Thus they shall both burn together, and there will be none to quench them. Isaiah chapter 2. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord, for you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust, from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. And it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, against all the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of man will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day, but the idols will completely vanish. Men will go into caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of His majesty, when He arises to make the earth tremble. In that day men will cast away to the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of His majesty, when He arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? Isaiah chapter 3. For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water. The mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan, and the skillful enchanter. And I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them, and the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. When a man lays hold of his brother in his father's house, saying, "You have a cloak, you shall be our ruler, and these ruins will be under your charge," he will protest on that day, saying, "I will not be your healer, for in my house there is neither bread nor cloak. You should not appoint me ruler of the people." For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against His glorious presence. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They do not even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Woe to the wicked, it will go badly with them, for what he deserves will be done to him. O my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. O my people, those who guide you will lead you astray and confuse the direction of your paths. The Lord arises to contend and stands to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment with the elders and princes of His people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with mincing steps and tinkle the bangles on their feet, therefore, the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. In that day the Lord will take away the beauty of their anklets, headbands, crescent ornaments, dangling earrings, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle chains, sashes, perfume boxes, amulets, finger rings, nose rings, festal robes, outer tunics, cloaks, money purses, hand mirrors, undergarments, turbans, and veils. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be putrefaction. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked-out scalp. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men will fall by the sword, and your mighty ones in battle. And her gates will lament and mourn. And deserted she will sit on the ground. Isaiah chapter 4. For seven women will take hold of one man in that day, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach." In that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion, and over her assemblies, a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than what I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. It will lay waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of a land. In my ears the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become desolate, even great and fine ones without occupants. For 10 acres of vineyard will yield only one bath of wine, and a homer of seed will yield but an ephah of grain. Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening, that wine may inflame them. Their banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by tambourine and flute, and by wine. But they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of his hands. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged its throat, and opened its mouth without measure. And Jerusalem's splendor, her multitude, her den of revelry, and the jubilant within her, descend into it. So the common man will be humbled, and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud will also be abased. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Then the lambs will graze as in their pasture, and strangers will eat in the waste places of the wealthy. Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes, who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and come to pass, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good, and good evil, who substitute darkness for light, and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine, and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe, and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble, and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot, and their blossom blow away as dust. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. On this account, the anger of the Lord has burned against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them, and struck them down. And the mountains quaked, and their corpses lay like refuse in the middle of the streets. For all this his anger is not spent, but his hand is still stretched out. He will also lift up a standard to the distant nation, and will whistle for it from the ends of the earth. And behold, it will come with speed swiftly. No one in it is weary or stumbles, nor slumbers or sleeps, nor is the belt at its waist undone, nor its sandal strap broken. Its arrows are sharp, and all its bows are bent. The hooves of its horses seem like flint, and its chariot wheels like a whirlwind. Its roaring is like a lioness, and it roars like young lions. It growls as it seizes its prey and carries it off with no one to deliver it. And it will growl over it in that day like the roaring of the sea. If one looks to the land, behold, there is darkness and distress. Even the light is darkened by its clouds. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. He said, Go and tell this people, Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump.
I like the way chapter 2 ends. It says, Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? The NIV says it a little bit more clearly. It says there, Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? Beloved, I am as interested in politics as anybody else is. These days, it's kind of hard to escape political talk, isn't it? But we need to keep in mind that no politician, no supposed leader is going to save us. No president, no governor, no prime minister, no king will ever come up with a plan to right the wrongs or save the economy. The sooner we recognize this, the sooner we'll be able to look to the one who has the answer. That one is the King of Kings. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not advocating for a theocracy run by religious zealots. When Jesus walked the earth, some of his followers thought he was going to establish an earthly kingdom then. And when it became clear that his mission did not include that agenda, one of the 12 disciples, Judas, betrayed him into the hands of those who ultimately crucified him. Jesus' mission when he was here was to bring the message of salvation, not of conquest. His goal was to change hearts, and I believe that's our mission today. As a matter of fact, we know that's our mission because he gave us that mission with his last words before ascending into heaven. Here's what he said. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. Our mission is to tell people the good news that God came in human form, and he made a way for them to be reconciled with God and to live with him in eternity. Beloved, when a heart is turned toward God, that is when peace begins. Now, as we read through Isaiah and many of the other Old Testament books, it's important to keep in mind that when God speaks of and then brings judgment on Israel and other nations, it comes with a message of warning first, then with a promise of restoration. So many people have the idea that the God we see in the Old Testament is angry and vengeful and just waiting for you to blow it so he can, bam, bring judgment. But in reality, he is a God of second and third and tenth chances. He's a patient and loving and forgiving God. You'll see that as we make our way through the Bible together this year. Now, I always invite your comments, and I'll share some of those comments from the LifeSpring family on the show. Remember, I don't want you to just listen to the show. I want you to participate as a family does. You are very much a part of the show. So comment at comment.lifespringmedia.com. And you can also email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Up next is This Day in Church History, but first I want to thank the folks who have been streaming, boosting, and sending boostograms. You guys are awesome. Streaming sats and such is a perfect way to do the value for value thing that I've been talking to you about. But there's also the good old donation of dollars, which you can do just by going to support.lifespringmedia.com. Your support is how this show will be able to continue, and I'm blown away at the support that the family has shown thus far. Bless your hearts. Now, speaking of boostograms, here's what came in on my last report. Brian said, and I know it's Brian because he signed his name on this one, he said, "I'm very excited to go on this journey with you this year. Thank you for your dedication and excellent work. Value for value. Boost!" Brian, thank you so much. And then another boostogram just says, "Fountain." And this person sent this boost just about the time I was talking yesterday about the Fountain app. So that's very cool. And then this last one has a comment on yesterday's subject. It said, "Interestingly, Dr. Michael Heiser argues in his book, The Unseen Realm, that the Satan figure in Job is not the devil or serpent of Genesis." Well, that is interesting. I wasn't familiar with Dr. Heiser or his book, so I did a little bit of nosing around to find out what I could. Obviously, I haven't had time to dig deeply or read the book, but it's got 4.8 stars on Amazon with 4,458 ratings. So shame on me for not being aware of it. But in my defense, I've been out of the Christian bookstore business for about 35 years, and I'm just a bit busy with this show. Anyway, I did find an article by Kenneth Birding, who's a professor of New Testament at the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. The article's title is, "Why Michael Heiser is Probably Wrong About Satan in the Book of Job." Well, I did quickly read that article, and it seems to be well-reasoned. And I think it's important to say at this time, too, that Professor Birding does not at all attack Heiser. He has some good things to say about him. He just has a different perspective. But having not read the book, I can't comment on where I come down on Heiser's ideas. But I will say that this falls under what I call a peripheral matter. It's interesting, but not central to what we believe as believers. It's an outlying issue and certainly not worth creating animus about. And thanks very much for the input. I wish I knew your name. I do appreciate your boostogram, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Boost! I'm really thankful for your support, guys. This is the way the show will be able to continue.
On this date in church history, October 24th, 1648. Today marks the end of one of Europe's darkest chapters, the Thirty Years' War. The Thirty Years' War, which took place between 1618 and 1648, devastated much of Central Europe, particularly the German lands, as Protestant and Catholic powers clashed over religion, territory, and power. On October 24, 1648, the twin treaties signed at Münster and Osnabrück formally ended the war and reshaped the religious map of Europe. These treaties granted equal political rights to Catholics and Protestants in the Holy Roman Empire, recognized the sovereignty of individual princes in religious matters, and affirmed the principle that the religion of the ruler is the religion of the realm. The Peace of Westphalia laid foundations for modern nation-states, religious toleration to an extent, and shifted the church's role in European politics. Theologically and historically, the Peace of Westphalia marks the end of large-scale religious wars in Europe and the beginning of a modern secular state system. It changed how Christians conceived of church-state relations, sovereignty, and the freedom of conscience, though unevenly and incompletely. Prayer requests. Well, as you might be able to tell from my voice, I have gotten the cold that the lovely Lady Leanne has been dealing with for a little over a week. That's why yesterday's show was a complete rewind show with no new content. So please pray that both of us get over this thing quickly. And on Wednesday, the staples were removed from the scalp on the back of her head. One of them had twisted a little bit, so it was a challenge to remove, but she's good to go now. Obviously, her head is still hurting some, but she's doing well, so do continue to pray for her, though. And I just got a text from John. You'll remember that a couple of days ago, we prayed for his family because they're going through some difficulties. Well, he received divorce papers yesterday, and this is not something that he wants, and so we need to continue to pray for the family. God can and does heal hearts and families. Amen. Amen. We also need to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering persecution. I'm thinking right now about the thousands of Christians who have been martyred in Nigeria. Every day, more and more are being murdered. We'll pray for them today, but please remember them in your prayers every day. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your love, even when we are unfaithful. Lord, you are always good. I thank you, Lord, for this show. I thank you, Lord, that you've brought me back to the microphone, and I pray, God, that you will use this to touch hearts and lives. I thank you for those that are listening right now and for those that you're going to bring to the show. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that you are listening and that you work in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. Right now, Lord, I lift up John and his family to you, Lord. I pray that you would bring healing to hearts, Lord. I pray, God, that you would heal relationships. So many times, Lord, our relationships look like there's no hope, but Father, with you, there is always hope. And so, God, I pray that you would just really bring the healing that is so necessary in John's family. Father, I thank you for the healing that you're bringing in Leanne's body with the aftermath of her fall last week. I thank you, Lord, that the stitches are out, and I just pray that you would continue to heal her, and I pray that you would heal both of us from this cold, and that you would restore our health and our strength, and that my voice would get back to normal as quickly as possible. Father, we pray right now for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and around the world, but especially Nigeria. So many have been killed, Lord, murdered. We pray, God, for the families that are left behind. We pray, Lord, for just a change of heart in those that are committing these murders. It's just such a terrible thing that's happening now, Lord, and I pray that you would bring a stop to it in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I pray for those in the LifeSpring family. I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray that if any of them are sick, that you would bring healing. If any of their family members are sick, that you would bring healing. Father, if there's finances or any other things, Lord, that are causing difficulties, I pray, God, that you would work in your perfect and loving way. I pray, Lord, that you would bring each of us closer to you and that we would feel the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you have something that you'd like to have the LifeSpring family pray with you about, let me know. Go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. There's an easy-to-fill-out form there, and if you want to remain anonymous, you can do that. prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we'll read from the New Testament, Matthew 1 and 2. Be sure you're subscribed to the show. If you're not, go to subscribe.lifespringmedia.com. There's links there to help you do that. Or in most podcast apps, just search for my name, Steve Webb, or the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind. And tell a friend about the show. One way we can make the world a better place is to get God's Word into more hands and more ears. That's what this show is all about. Well, as you can plainly hear, my voice is about gone, so I'm going to sign off now. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.